Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Virtually. Hey, let's just jump right into 1 Kings chapter 4, 29 through 31. I want to kind of set our stage here this morning. We're just going to kind of sum up a few things. It says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and the breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore. That's pretty wide mind, right? Okay. It says, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all other men. I tell you what, that's quite a statement there. We've been journeying through, looking here at 1 Kings, particularly doing a deep dive in the life of King Solomon. And I've been really blessed by it. And as I was going through our message for today and I was preparing, something kind of jumped out at me. And I know this time of year, when I was a little kid around this time of year, the big deal was preparing to go trick-or-treating. Okay. And I don't know if anybody's ever done that or whatnot. But when we as little kids, we were kind of out and we were ornery and we were, don't be like I was when I was a little kid. But my sister always, I have two older sisters. They're like way older. They're ancient and I'm young. They're old. So they're watching. So there you go. The younger of the two older sisters, would get stuck taking me trick or treating. And I was a cute little kid. and so they'd decorate me in something weird or like put holes in a sheet or something and throw me around and whatnot. And afterwards, so I did the work and then I'd remember coming home and my sister's being like, let's pour it all. We'll pour all of our candies together. I'm like, well, look, I did most of the work here. And then my sister was pretty smart. And I was an adorable little kid, but maybe not the smartest little kid. Thank you for not arguing that. They divide it all up and they'd say, okay, so here's what I'll do. And I remember my sister saying, I will give you 10 pieces of candy corn and I'll take one Snicker. Yeah. And then it would kind of do that, you know, it's like the undesirable candies. They'd kind of get those together and they'd be like, oh yeah, here's an eraser. Okay. You can have those things and we'll take the good stuff. And I just remember, you know, I was trying to think of their bartering system. And even at that young age, I was kind of gullible and I was like, well, 10's better than one. And I didn't realize that I was being kind of scammed there. You know, I kind of thought about that. It's kind of like you've all heard the story of, you know, kids who have baseball cards and sometimes a wily older guy will, you know, come in and be like, oh yeah, I'll trade you 5 of your favorite team, the Cardinals, and you give me that old Hank Aaron card. I'll just take that. And you get, you know, just kind of the people who kind of give you that stuff and then they kind of keep the good stuff and then all dad has to get in. Hey, we're going to undo that trade. I was thinking about those types of situations as I was kind of going through where we're going to get to in our journey today. We've again been looking at 1 Kings, the life of King Solomon, and quite honestly, finding some pretty cool things, some pretty insightful things that we can apply to our lives. Solomon was given this tremendous gift of wisdom from God. It was bringing him fame. His name was becoming great. And we left chapter 4 with the observation that in the midst of such overwhelming blessings, we found a small crack in his foundation of his life, with his walk with the Lord. Why on earth was Solomon amassing horses? That's where we left off last week. Why on earth and all this thing, you know, horses represented might. They represented military might specifically. And God had given him this throne and he'd offered him a conditional blessing that if he'd walk in God's statutes, that God would protect him and bless him and keep him on the throne. So if you this week, I want you to kind of continue reading through. We're going to probably get all the way through chapter 9 today. And chapter 5 and 6, Solomon's beginning to do what he was arguably most known for, was preparing and building the temple. And there was this king named Hiram, who was this friend of King David's. And we'll pick up the story here in chapter 5. First Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon when he'd heard that he had anointed him king in place of his father. For Hiram always loved David. And Solomon sent word to Hiram, "You know that David, my father, could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the warfare to which his enemies surrounded him, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There's neither adversary nor misfortune going on." He said, So I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord said to David my father, "Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name. Now therefore, command that cedars of Lebanon be cut for me. And my servants will join your servants, and I will pay for your servants such wages as you set. For you know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians." Okay, so following the rest of chapter 5 and going into chapter 6, we hear about Solomon's favor as he begins to gather resources and construct the temple. And then in chapter 7, he's going on to build his palace. And this is very good stuff. We read it on your own this week and pay special attention to the detail that is given. There's so much detail about this. And in the middle of beginning this project, okay, he just gets ready to say, "I want to build a house for the Lord. I want to build this temple." God speaks to him. Now, that's what I want to focus on here first. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 11 through 15. Are you ready? I didn't hear anybody say yes. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon." Here's what God said. "Concerning this house that you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and obey my rules and keep my commandments and walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, which I spoke to David your father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and you will not and will not forsake my people Israel." So Solomon built the house and finished it. Now, here's what's odd to me. Okay? God says, "Concerning this house that you're building." What do you think would come after that? So if someone was having a project, you know, we're getting ready to do a parking lot project, you know, which we got going on here. So be kind of careful because we got lots of construction going on around the campus now. I think if I was going to say, hey, you know, "Concerning this parking lot that you're building," I would think that the next thing that I would say would be like, "Make sure that you really tamp the foundation down." Or if you're talking about a building project, "Make sure that you don't cut quarters. Make sure that you follow the building codes. Make sure that you don't adopt the philosophy 'good enough for who it's for,'" right? You'd think that the advice that's about to, the topic is concerning this building. And then God says something doesn't really seem like this is construction oriented now, does it? But it actually is. God, and this isn't a new statement. You know, when God says it's not just building advice, it's living advice. And in fact, it's a restatement of a conditional covenant that we'd already heard. We heard this in chapter 3, verse 14, where God had said literally the same thing. Now, as a parent, I have been known to say the same thing multiple times. Why do you think that is? If I say something, you know, and then I go back and I see that maybe it, like, if I say, "Clean your room," and then I walk by and I hear odd sounds of jungles and crazy wild animals and mice and stuff, and I go through again and say, "Clean your room." I've said it two times. Why? Because the first time didn't sink in. That never happens, does it, Ellie? There you go. Right. As a kid, I would be told things multiple times. Okay? I would be told that, like, I remember, when I started driving, my mom was always like, hey, you know, make sure that when you leave, don't drive fast. And then she'd come back and say again, hey, when you leave, don't drive fast. There's a reason, because I was driving fast, right? Okay, what I'm trying to say is God is saying something and he's repeating himself. And what he's repeating, he's saying, look, you know, you're trying to do something here. What you're doing is fine, wonderful and great, but I want you to focus on something else. Because what Solomon was building was grand. It was awesome. There were fine materials. There was cedar wood. There was olive wood. There was gold overlay. There's cherubims. There was no expense spared. Stones, as we read, that were being used to build the temple were actually hewn away from the building. There was so much craftsmanship. They pre-built everything and then they hauled it in and it all fit together perfectly. This is quite a project way back then. We're not talking about modern computer technology. This was done, you know, way, way, way in the past, gang. This is a miraculous and a tremendous thing. But I got to ask, what's the motivation? Because David's wanting to do, not be. And that's where the word of the Lord finds us. First point today. Works for God are not a substitute for obedience to him. Our works for God are not a substitute for obedience in him. I mean, this temple, as we read through it, this is awesome. It's inspiring. But I got to ask you a question. Do you think God was impressed? Do you think that God was... I mean, now certainly, I will grant you that he responded by sending his glory. But he promised that he would do that, okay? God was being faithful to what he said he was going to do. Chapter 7 goes into Solomon's palace where he hosted visiting dignitaries and the furnishing. And it is amazing. But remember what God said about this house, about building this house. I want you to walk in my statutes and obey my command. So Solomon is building, and boy, he is into him. This is extreme home makeover temple edition. He is really in this. And he's bringing everything, and he dedicates it, and he offers sacrifices and prayers. I got to ask you, was God impressed? Look, gang, I got a question for you. Do your works impress God? But I know when we sit down, when we've given our all to something, sometimes we're impressed with our works. Can I be honest? Can we just be honest here today? Sometimes we think, boy, I really did something for God now. He must be awfully impressed with me. I just really, boy, I just did some wonderful things. And I mean, here, look at this in a new light. Matthew chapter 28, I'm sorry, 6, verse 28 through 29. Here's what Jesus said. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, okay? How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Now look what he says. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Do you really think that God was impressed with the temple? I'm going to tell you, no. Here's what God wants. This is the big point I want to get to, gang. Many times we look for something to do for God rather than simply obey. And there are some times that the spotlight of conviction, how many of you ever get convicted about something and what you immediately try to do is do something good and that will cover it up? May I take you back to the Garden of Eden? They ate from the tree that God said no, and what did they do? They went and hid from God where? They hid from God in the garden that it was their job to tend. We hide in our works. We hide from God by doing things for him. And we think that God will be focused on what we do, not who we are. Come on, this is better than y'all responding here. Maybe you people at home are doing something, but everybody's soggy here today. So this is an important thing. It is easy to get so focused on our work for God that we forget to prioritize our relationship with him. You know what's beautiful to God? Isaiah 52, 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings news, good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now, how many people think feet are beautiful? Yeah, mine are. We'll take your word for it. You just keep them puppies clothed there. Look, so the deal is this. Here's what he says is beautiful. Proclaiming the gospel, salvation. God's reign. God's reign in our lives is beautiful to him. So Solomon is, I'm finding something interesting that God, in the midst of everything that he's getting ready to do for God, Solomon's shining a spotlight that says, I want you to go back and walk in my ways. Hang on to that, church. Hang on to that. So Solomon's, he's dedicated the temple. You know, Second Chronicles talks a little bit about this dedication to a little bigger detail. So let's look at Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 through 22. This is as Solomon had dedicated the temple and got done with all of these, this wonderful construction project. And we hear what happens. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. Because Solomon offered this amazing prayer at the dedication of the temple, okay? And he's talking about, hey, you know, God here, when we're offering sacrifices, respond, you know, we're offering this to you. It's a beautiful thing. I'm not saying anything against what Solomon did in the building. I'm saying God kept trying to focus on something else. And Solomon's more interested in building than what my point is going to be. Solomon's more interested in building than obeying, and I want us not to make the same mistake that we're so focused on doing things for God that we forget our daily relationship with him in obedience. God appears, and here's what he says. I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. This is what he promised he would do, by the way, okay? He says, when I shut up the heavens, now, this is interesting. Say, look, this is the place. This is great. I'm going to dwell here. Guess what? When I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. In other words, he's saying, hey, Solomon, guess what? Get ready. Because you got some cracks in the foundation, and this is where it's going to lead you to. And when this happens, I want you to call out to me. You know, this is what I've recognized, not just myself, but other pastors who I know. You know, when people are most vulnerable is when they've just gotten done doing something for God. Because we feel that when we do something for God, we're just awesome. God's really impressed with what we've done. And we forget to be humble. And we forget to be dependent. And we forget to be base. And we forget to continue to rend our hearts, not our garments. He says, look, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I'm going to hear from heaven and forgive your sin and heal your lands. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers that are made in this place. It's almost like he's saying, hey, when you're going to find yourself on the opposite end of the table of me, and goes now here's what it goes on. Now, for now, I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for a time, for all time, excuse me. And as for you, oh, goodness gracious, don't you hate being told the same thing three times? Look what he's saying. What do you mean, God? Why do you keep telling me about this obedience? I've just built you a house. What do you mean, God? All these things I do for you, and yet you're shining the spot. As for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne. As I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. But if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments that I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you from my land that I have given you, and this house that I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all people. And this house, which was exalted, everyone passing by will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and laid hold of to other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this disaster upon them. Solomon has just done this incredible, amazing work for God. And God is telling him, you better be careful, because there's idolatry. Here's what can happen. I got to tell you, gang, I know a lot of people who worship church. I know a lot of people who worship religion. I know a lot of people who worship and make idols of things that we do for God. It can happen. It happens all the time. And it's something that I believe that we need to focus in. We need to keep the first thing the first thing. We need to understand God. And now this is hard stuff, because God begins. He's like, look, if you understand, I think that this is also showing, let's do a little theological work here. This is showing the heart of how loving God is. That he's saying, Solomon, you're working really hard, but I want you to know I'm going to be there when you fall. Okay? He's offering him some understanding. And he says, if you walk like David, by the way, was David perfect? I mean, what we read, David numbered his troops. You know, this displeased God. There are many times David disobeyed. David took another man's wife and then conspired to have him killed. So why is David the example here? Because here's one thing that David did. Every time that David got broken, we read it in the Psalms. He would fall on his face before God and he'd call on God's mercy. We're not perfect, and God wants us to know some powerful things, okay? He's focusing. So my second point today is this. And for those of us who are always doing, for those of us who are always working, I want you to hear point two and really check this. We can get so busy doing for God that we stop listening carefully to him. We can get so busy doing things that we think the things take the place of obeying him. Solomon was focused on his project. And here we've had two times that God is saying, hey, you know, about this building, or hey, I've done my part in this building, but guess what? You're going to fall. You need to walk before me and follow my statutes. You need to obey my statutes. And he's so focused on what he's doing, I would argue that he's not listening. God was blessing the project. Here's another freebie. Just because God is blessing what you do, do not take that as an endorsement that he's happy with how we're living. I know a lot of people who have become very, very wealthy by not really ethical means, and they assume, well, because I'm doing so well, that means that God has blessed how I'm living. Not true. Not true. God was repeating messages to Solomon, okay? And he was using this. And don't think that just because God uses you, I tell this to ministers all the time. When I go to speak at pastors' conferences, or I go to speak with DHF events, I always tell ministers, don't think that because God is using you means that you're in the right place. Because by the way, did God use a heathen Pharaoh for his will? Yes. Does God use Solomon? Yeah. Did God use with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar? Did God use King Nebuchadnezzar? Yes. The sovereignty of God. God uses all kinds of things. God spoke his word through a donkey. Some of you are like, we can relate, right? All right. So here's my question. Was Solomon listening? Because what I don't hear, you saw what it said, is God, in his message to Solomon, says, I want you to be careful how you're living. And Solomon's response was, he built the house and finished it. God's whispering to you, hey, I want you to be careful how you walk. And we're like, I got this, God. And we just keep our head to the, our nose to the grindstone and keep pushing on. And so, gang, I just want to ask you real quickly as we're getting ready to conclude our time. What is God whispering to you? Are you listening? What are the messages that God is repeating to you that have become white noise? What are the messages that God continues to say over and over again? So here's how we begin to find that this crack in the foundation of Solomon might be getting a little bigger. Okay? 1 Kings 9, 10 and through 14. At the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses. So Solomon's done his project. He's built where he's going to be hospitable to these visiting dignitaries, his house. He's built the temple. It's amazing. It's great. And Hiram, king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress timber and gold as much as he desired. So this king of Tyre had given Solomon all kinds of gold as much as he desired. How much gold would you like? And by the way, Solomon was already loaded. Okay? He says, King Solomon gave to Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. But when Hiram came from Tyre to see the cities that Solomon had given them, they did not please him. Hey, we've been working together. And all I got is candy corn? What? Why do you have all the Snickers and Three Musketeers and whatchamacallits? And why do you have those? And I have the saltwater taffy. What is going on here? Those of you who like saltwater taffy, okay, that's fine. But chocolate would be where I would go. In other words, Solomon kept the good stuff and gave away the junk. Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. You know, that happens in church all the time. In churches. I'm not going to say our church, but in churches, the majority of my adult life served in churches. And what I found is a lot of times, you know, like, and I'm guilty of this too. You find something that's at your house and you're like, I don't want it in my house. And then they'll just give it to the church. The church can use it, you know? And you know, it happens. We get the leftover. I get it. And I don't want people to stop being generous or anything like that, but I understand. You don't ever go to the furniture store and buy the best and then give it to the church and keep your old, right? We all kind of flip the things around. Everybody's getting mad at me. Stop that. Stop that. Here's the deal. It's showing something here. Of all people in the world right now, who do you think is in a position to be generous? You know, I found the most generous people. This is just a broad statement. There are certain other examples, but a lot of times what I recognize, some of the folks who are the most generous in giving are the people who have very meager means, the people who don't have much because their possessions don't have them. They view themselves as God intended us to be a river to flow things through us, not a reservoir to hold it up for ourselves. Something's got a hold of Solomon here, gang. This doesn't seem right. Okay? So verse 13, therefore he said, what kind of cities are these that you have given to me, my brother? It's like, what's with this? What's with all the candy corn? Come on. What is with this stuff? He said, so they are called the land of Kabul to this day. The land of Kabul, it actually means worthless. The place of no value. Why have you given me all the worthless stuff, my brother? And Hiram had said to the king, Now the verse 14 is very interesting. So look how this reads. Therefore he said, what kind of cities are these that you have given me, my brother? So they are called the land of Kabul to this day. Hiram had sent to the king 120 talents of gold. I have given you all the good stuff and you're sending me all the junk. And we find out later that Solomon took these cities back and rebuilt them. So they obviously needed to be rebuilt. And then he used those cities to house more chariots and to house all of his treasures. Here's what jumps out at me. Again, I'm thinking about that Halloween candy story. We, you know, it's amazing how generous we are with things of no worth. Solomon, over and over again, we've read of his great wealth, we've read of his renown, we've read of all these things. In fact, in a few verses, we're going to read that he built fleets of ships, and him and Hiram together went and acquired ridiculous amounts of gold. Okay? This is amazing stuff here. And here begins the warning when we're less than generous. These wealth can be a tremendous trapping, because with great wealth comes a serious trapping that people will cling to it and put their trust in more in their own wealth than in the God who gives them the ability to acquire it. In fact, Jesus talked about rich men struggling to get in the kingdom of heaven because of the trappings of great wealth. Here's this crack in the foundation. We saw the crack start with these horses, and now it is expanded. He has so much, but Solomon has so much, but he's unwilling to depart from it. Are we the same? Are we guilty of regifting? That we obviously give the thing that no one wants? Here's a thought. As God is speaking his word to Solomon about walking in his statutes, I want to remind you once again that Solomon knew these statutes. So let's wrap our message up with this. Deuteronomy 17:16. This was the statute that God was given. I'm reading part of it. I'm reading 16, and I'm dropping down to the second part of verse 17. We'll come back and get the first part next week. This is to the kings of Israel. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself. We've already heard that Solomon did that last week. All these horses, you know, and cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. In other words, I don't want you going back and getting what people who don't follow Christ. You can't have the same values as the world. Hello, church. The church in 2021 in the United States of America that struggles so much to act like the world. Stop it. Don't go back and act like the world. I want to be your supplier. I want to give you a uniqueness in this day and age. He says, look, don't acquire many horses, since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. Let's not go back to be like the world. Now, dropping down to verse 17b, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive what? Silver and gold. And what do we see Solomon doing? Not following the statutes. Oh, good heavens. He's building tremendous things, but he's not following the statutes. How many of us try to do things for God to appease our guilt? But in the bottom line, we have areas of our life that we refuse to submit to God. Come on. Altar's open. Altar's open. Almost. Give me like 4 more sentences and I will be done. Out of the mouths of babes. Last week we ended with the thought that the horses were a problem because they were a temptation to rely on their own might to keep their kingdom, because God had commanded them not to do such a thing. And now this week, and worship team can come up, now it's gold. I mean, he used tremendous amounts of gold in his throne and his household, but he still has stores and stores of it, and he keeps getting more. Hiram had done all these things, and we see something. So my final thought here is this. Are we generous with God's blessings? I want you to think of your own life. Are you blessed? And if you say, well, not really, I want to ask you. I mean, every person in this room, it's all a matter of perspective, because some of us could say, well, I'm not blessed. I know people who are blessed and I'm not blessed. Let me expand. Please, next time I go to Cuba, you're welcome to come with. And you can see people who live for a couple of dollars a month. Gang, we are blessed, as we are the upper 1% of the entire world. Are we blessed? Yes. Are we generous with God's blessings? Or do we kind of resemble Solomon in that we're holding on to this stuff, and when the Holy Spirit prompts us, we're not willing to joyfully say, yes, God. Because if that's the case, do we hoard or do we share? When we refuse to part with what God has blessed us, I submit to you today, it has become an idol. It has become an idol. when God prompts us. So I want you guys to consider to put your trust in the blessor, not the blessings. Stand to your feet and let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.